listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome back, guys. Happy Tuesday. I'm glad you can join in today. Let's see how many people are actually listening in today. It's 2.9 million today. It's a little slow. Give them time to get warmed up and get on the air and listen in. Got some really good things to catch up on today. I have a gentleman that's going to join us. I wanted to give him a name because I don't usually like to put anyone's name out there, but he wanted to be very transparent. You know, he had a active ongoing DHS case, which actually turned out to be very positive going forward for him. His name is Mike. He's a really good guy. I got a chance to actually meet him in person. Usually I, you know, don't meet the people, but I got a chance to meet him and hear his story pretty much of the, you know, the third party umbrella DHS system. Hello? You know what? The caller is on. So let's get Mike on and hear what he has to say. Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm blessed. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad you could join us today. I was just talking about you in regards to our brief conversation, well, somewhat in-depth conversation, about your particular situation you had with DHS. I wanted to ask you a few questions, if that would be okay with you.
Background noise where me and my little one were out and about. I just rolled the windows up so we're less disturbed. Fire away if you would.
I wanted to ask you, the little one that you have currently in your custody, you do have custody of that particular child, right?
Total, yes. When he was 13 months old in 2012, him and four other siblings were taken into DHS custody. And when I was notified a few days later, I did my diligence and was at the first court hearing. With that being said, the system doesn't work for everybody, and it is definitely not a level playing field. But as we spoke before, depending on the individual's tenacity and or wherewithal, you can get through anything. It may be more difficult for some than others, but it's all about the fight and the dog. The system itself, no, it's not conducive for just regular folks.
So you didn't have much of a fight to get your child. Is that correct?
When I showed up, I had one of the best lawyers I could get. And I actually had a history with the judge who was presiding over the case. So he knew my background and that I was a forthright person, which also added to my advantage. But like I said, not everybody can go into the system as fortunate as I was with, you know, the best lawyer you can get or, you know, the best background. It's just not set up that easy for regular folks.
Well,
I can only speak on my story, but, you know, to answer your question overall, almost any system that you deal with is not going to be a level playing field, DHS being at the top of the pecking order.
Well, were they aware that you were the biological father initially of your child?
Yes, and actually they were mistaken that I was the biological father of one of the other children who was also in custody, where the facts were that I was the biological father of one of her older sons and my little one. So they were trying to get me to take two of the children with me that day, which just shows you they never have their T's crossed or their I's dotted as far as that goes. I think we spoke about their copy and paste system, which has not a lot of experience or talented people working within their system. That's just how I see it. You know, others may disagree, but, you know, it is what it is as far as I'm concerned.
Now with them knowing, okay, there's a biological dad, was your child ever put in, like, temporary custody of, like, you know, a foster parent, even though they were aware that you were the father?
Absolutely. From what I understand, that Tuesday, it was right around before the Easter holidays. So that Tuesday, the children were taken into custody. I wasn't informed. I was informed by a private party on Friday asking what I was going to do about my son. And I was like, what are you talking about? And that Friday evening, I was leaving phone messages on every phone I could that mattered. And then I contacted an attorney on Monday morning, and he met me at the family court system. But they would have never, to answer your question, they would have never contacted me. They would have made the decision. And he was already, I'm sure, in a foster system, because when I picked them up the following week, it was from a foster house with his brothers and sisters.
Well, let me ask
you. So he had already been designated without any contact to me, the biological father.
When you did pick him up, was he clean? Was he well kept? Did he smell like smoke?
No, in fact, it was, you know, there's a lot of facades, and I was, from what I seen, just for the short time I was there, everything seemed pretty good on the up and up. And my understanding was the mother and the daughter who was the foster parent had a childcare system there at their house. But over the period of time, things weren't what they were perceived to be. So there was a big facade and illusion that everything was cool, when in fact, my little one's siblings had told, you know, I've talked to their big sister, and they've told them some really not cool, some really bad things as far as treatment. I'm not going to elaborate on these things, being that they're still minors, and I'm just not going to take that liberty, but it wasn't right. The best situation for these children.
And these are the children that were in DHS foster care.
Yes. They were in,
overall perception of the DHS system, if you were, let's say, a blind man walking into a ditch, you're about to fall over, would you feel like they paint the picture like they're going to place the children in a safe place and that they're going to protect them? Because that's what they ultimately claim, that's their job, to protect these children, to remove them from their biological parents because they're not doing a good job. And, okay, we're going to put them with foster parents who we've QC'd, and we know for a fact these people are good people. But you're saying that some things were done to these children in the DHS foster care.
You know, I guess in almost any system promises to do its diligence and to be the best it can be. And I guess that's part of business. That's not always the case, as we know. And especially when it comes to DHS, there's times when people make mistakes, or things just aren't going your way. And you have a lot of children who are removed from good parents. Now, there are probably 10 times as many children who are removed from parents who don't deserve to have children. With that being said, I don't believe the system's set up properly that they can do their diligence to guarantee the safety of children, anyone. I mean, and that goes on a broader spectrum than DHS, that's of healthcare and anything else. If you don't have the wherewithal or the intellect to jump through so many hoops as these systems will put you through, then you're doomed, you're bound for failure. And when that comes to inhibiting someone their rights as a parent, well, that's a whole nother ball game. So if that answers your question, I know I like to be a little more elaborate sometimes than others, but it's I can only tell my story.
Right. And I wanted to ask you, Mike, now years have gone by, is the DHS system still actively involved in your son's life, or are they like a thing of the past?
You know, they're a thing of the past, and it's funny, not funny, that after a couple years after I just got him, so we're talking about like 2014, they were contacting me to take custody of his siblings. It was like they were trying to close cases no matter what.
Are you married, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Are you married?
Oh, no.
So you're a single father, and they were considering you to take the other children?
Yeah, I told them, in fact, word for word, I can't, you know, I'm a single father. I had medical issues, and, you know, I'm not practicing the trades that I've, you know, made good livings at. So I can't afford, oh, we'll help you with housing and you'll get checks for each. It was like they were promoting a financial windfall for me to take these children. Now,
well,
mind
you,
they
did
their diligence for me to get my biological son in the beginning, you know, but it was almost like we have to get these cases closed. We have to fill these quotas. And it was like they were promising me a financial windfall, which had nothing to do with, you know, I wanted to give these children a better opportunity. But realistically, I knew I was going to be struggling taking care of my little one. And I had my grandson at the time who was a teenager. So, you know, I don't think that they always have the children or the families themselves, family core themselves at their peak of their interest. I think it's more a quota, and unfortunately, that's the reality of business, and it shouldn't be business because it's way deeper than that when you're talking about family and children, especially children. But it is what it is. I'm not real happy with a lot of systems that we deal with in these times today.
Well, did you have like any other agencies like CASA, CUA involved in your DHS case? Because I know they typically, you know, we're doing the legwork to remove the kid, but we need the paper pushers who's going to push the paper and, you know, say things that, you know, I guess tape and paste, I call it. You know, to make it work in their favor.
I agree. I concur.
So, you know, how was that experience of the whole tape and paste saga?
Well, dealing with that, you know, I actually, one of the hoops that I had to jump through, and this isn't my first rodeo as a single parent. One of my older sons, he's 36 now. His mother died when he was four. And that was a while ago, 1990. It wasn't really popular for single fathers as far as the system went. And I went through a lot of hoops with that. But in this case with Mikhail, my doobie, I went through an issue because his mother never put my name on the birth certificate. So the Christiana school district where I live in Delaware. I'm sorry?
Mike?
Yeah,
Mike, you're breaking up a little bit.